Hey, everybody, you are listening to my Monday midday monologue. My name is Russ, and this podcast is an opportunity for me to talk about my artistic endeavors, specifically in Phoenix, Arizona, during the previous week, and to plug anything I might have coming up this week. You know, Monday is just that perfect pivotal time for both reflection and anticipation, and no more so is that evident than today, the first Monday of 2016. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope you had a great, safe celebration of our Earth's full 365-day rotation around the sun. That is where New Year's comes from, right? I'm not 100% sure. All I know is this is one of every 4 years where we add a day to the year because that's what farmers needed. I'm not sure what this means. The Greeks, or farmers, or Julius Caesar said, "We dost needeth one more day." I don't know. That's your public education system at work, as far as my understanding of our timekeeping practices. But man, what a great New Year's weekend! And I'll tell you, 2016 is already 150% better than 2015, at least for me. And I've heard that from a lot of friends. Thank goodness 2015 is over. 2016, we're ready to recover and have a great year. And I think the logistics of the week, speaking of timekeeping, is one of the reasons why the year was something of a struggle for people. So when you think about the New Year's weekend that just passed, New Year's Eve was on a Thursday. So everybody partied until well after midnight. Most of us had Friday off, and then now we're back to work today, January 4th, if you are indeed listening to this on the Monday it was recorded. So the New Year started with a three-day weekend, a literal tabula rosa, if you will, a blank slate. So when you returned to work today, you had that respite under your belt. Last year, if memory serves, New Year's Eve then would have been on a Wednesday. So maybe you had Thursday off, but then Friday you had to go back to work, or there might have been a swap where your boss said, look, if you guys come in on the Thursday, I'll give you the Friday. Then you had the three-day weekend. There was still this awkward day where you had to work under the wire. So it was almost like the year hadn't ended yet because you had that one dangling work day before the holiday weekend proper. And I just think that threw a black cloud over 2015. 2016 has the promise of the celebratory, the much anticipated, the highly coveted three-day weekend. And so now that we've started with that, I'm telling you, I feel like this year's off to a great start. Of course, while I'm recording this, I'm driving. So in the midst, I could rear-end someone or get rear-ended, and then that'll just derail the year entirely. But fingers crossed that that doesn't happen. So yeah, I rang in the new year with my beautiful girlfriend, and we sang karaoke at Castaways, a bar here in Phoenix on the border of Scottsdale. I was thrilled to have the first song of the new year at Castaways, which was The Refreshments, Benditos, to me one of the best karaoke songs ever, for many reasons. One, the reference to Jean-Luc Picard. Two, the energy of the song. Three, the multicultural aspect of the ditty. Anyway, but I sang that here, of course, like I say, in Arizona, and The Refreshments, having now broken up and become Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. But that's an Arizona-based band. That was an Arizona-based band. That's an Arizona oriented song and its regionalism. So I turned it in not thinking I'd get to sing it first, as the ball dropped and the countdown ended and the kisses and the champagne, and then it was my turn. So that's awesome for an egomaniac like me to get to sing the first song of 2016 in a bar. So now everybody else that follows every other karaoke song sung in that bar this year has a tough act to follow, me being the first one that sang in that bar this new year. That is not as big a deal as I'm making it out to be, but I loved, as a fan of karaoke, of course, I loved every second of that. And I did a lot of karaoke last week because December 30th is the birthday of both Monkees, Mike Nesmith and Davy Jones. I mentioned that in the last cast. And I did indeed hit quite a few karaoke bars here in the Valley to sing both Daydream Believer, made famous by Davy's rendition with the Monkees, but then also I sang Different Drum, made famous by Linda Ronstadt, but written by Monkey, Mike Nesmith. And so I kind of toured those songs around a few karaoke venues. And my week-long celebration of the Monkees' birthdays culminated in a monologue I delivered at a local theater's monthly variety show. It was Space 55's 7 Minutes in Heaven, their New Year's edition called 7 Minutes into the New Year. And so I gave a monologue about Mike Nesmith, Davy Jones, the legacy they leave behind. The monologue is now available on YouTube. Got a video of it, posted that online. So you could visit my YouTube channel, Karaoke Fanboy Press, and watch that monologue right now, and I presume forever, until the servers crash and we are trapped in a post-cybernetic age apocalypse where we have to talk to people face-to-face, and if we want to show somebody a meal, present it to them in person rather than take a picture and post it. So that presentation is available for you from the Space 55 stage now into your home or on your phone. I thoroughly enjoyed making that presentation, and here's my hope when I do stuff like that, singing their songs karaoke or talking about their lives on stage. It's the same approach I had with the Jack Kirby birthday celebration from the middle of 2015, one of the highlights of my year. When people think of the Monkees now, those that were in attendance for any of that stuff I did, I can only hope that I am a small footnote in their recollection of the Monkees' impact on their lives. So it's truly a legacy thing, and my love and respect of the Monkees' artistry and integrity, I follow suit by contributing in my own way. And the Jack Kirby birthday celebration from mid-year last year was a great example, too. I mean, Jack was such an innovator visually and professionally as a businessman, a title he may not have accepted wholeheartedly, but then by proxy of the nature of his business, he had to represent himself and fight for his creator's rights and stuff like that. And so I thought, well, I could honor Jack by sitting down and drawing a picture of the Silver Surfer or finding some friends that are like-minded, and we could all draw pictures. But is that what Jack would have wanted, for us to just copy him when he himself was such a champion of originality? Why not try something different, like an open mic, an art gallery, find a way to pay homage to the man and dwell in his shadow while at the same time shining a new light onto the creative scene? And so, too, I do with the Monkees, where, yeah, I'm going to sing their songs karaoke, dwell in that shadow a little bit, but at the same time, you know, I'm a decent writer. I could deliver that stuff via monologue in a theater. And so why not do so, if only to spread that love in a completely different way, as they would have appreciated, I presume, as they themselves champions of artistry and performance and comedy and drama and so forth. So it was a blast to do that, and I will have one more opportunity to talk about the Monkees at the end of the month, and I will plug that as we get closer to it. Anyway, that's it. At the Space 55 event, I made a zine. I passed that out, about 50 copies. Not a huge deal, but you know, every opportunity I have to perform, I like to give a little keepsake. It might be the teacher in me utilizing the old hook, book, look, took philosophy, where if I'm gonna talk to a group of people, I want them to take something. I want there to be a took, if you will. Yeah, I passed out a little zine. It had some Monkees facts. It was laid out in a, you know, the zine-like way, and I'll probably do that for the event at the end of the month as well. You know, I give out freebies all the time. At Comic-Cons, I'll pass out little comic strip samplers of amazing Arizona comics, or in this case, pass out a zine. And I'm just developing a philosophy, and I've echoed this in ums from the past several weeks. If I'm going to give out something for free, I want it to have meaning, but I also want it to be a gateway. I don't want it to be a finite thing where it's a one and done and that's all they need from me. No, I want that thing to create the desire to look at the other stuff I do. And so I definitely make sure to put my social media and or contact information on everything I pass out. It might seem like a no-brainer, but, you know, if you're making a little artistic piece, that might not occur to you every time to throw an email, an Instagram, a website on there. It seems perhaps even counterproductive to the message of that art piece, in that you want it to speak for itself. But again, if I'm passing out a zine and somebody digs it, they follow me on Instagram, they find out I sell a mini comic, they seek me out at a Comic-Con or one of my future appearances, and they buy a book from me, well, mission accomplished. And if that happens with even one person, then the zine effort was doubly worthwhile because it made its own statement and was a marketing tool. And so I've decided that when I pass out freebies, I will make them event-specific. Drawing that line between, here, take something I made, and here, take something I made for you, for this event, and it's exclusive to this and to you, and I hope you enjoy it. It's the same reason I draw for people at Comic-Cons or appearances around town, because it's one thing for somebody to buy a comic I made, but it's another for somebody to experience a sketch I've made for them, and that generates revenue for me as an artist as well, usually in the form of tips, or somebody then out of some sort of unspoken obligation feels like they have to buy one of my books. I don't care why they're buying it, as long as they take it home, read it, and hopefully find some enjoyment in it. So this developing philosophy on freebies, giving the art away and so forth, I think as long as there's a strategy behind it, a philosophy where my work is seen both on the surface and also as a gateway to dig deeper into more work, so be it. Mission accomplished. And that's one of my New Year's resolutions, so to speak, is to generate those kinds of freebies, but to also make them enticing enough to draw people in to what else I'm doing, this podcast being one of those things. So thanks for listening. That's probably all I have to talk about right now. I'm driving on the 51, and there's quite a bit of traffic here as I approach Indian School Road, northbound. So I should probably concentrate on the road. You can follow me on Instagram at AmazingAZComics. You could visit AmazingArizonaComics.com. The next issue of Amazing Arizona Comics, number 19, will drop very soon. And when it does, that week, I will probably talk about it much more than I have in the past right here on In the meantime, this is, as always, my Monday midday monologue. Catch you next time.